Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fiok. Good morning, brethren. Welcome to our guests. Appreciate them coming. We have Josh and Chad, Mary and Carrie here today. If you have any questions about the Bible, any difficult scriptures you need explained, just ask one of them and they'll explain it to you. The wife was in the hospital. She'd had an operation, had anesthetics, and was sleeping pretty soundly, and her husband was sitting next to her, holding her hands. And so she started to move and kind of opened her eyes a little bit, about halfway open, and looked around the room and looked over to her husband and looked at her husband and says, "You're handsome." Then she fell back asleep. About 20 minutes later, she kind of moved again and eyes opened up, wide open this time, and she's laying there looking around the room, and her husband was still sitting there, and she looked at him and says, "Oh," says, "You're cute." He said, "Wait a minute. What happened to handsome?" She said, "The drugs are wearing off." So that's just a joke, just a story. And I was going to use somebody's name in here and put them in the joke, but I didn't do that. But it does lead into the subject of the split sermon this morning. I want to talk about praise. So the title of the split sermon is just plain one word, praise. P-R-A-I-S-E, not P-R-A-Y-S. I was almost going to give the title, "Is It All Right to Praise?" But we all know better than that. The Bible, it's just full of scriptures about praising God. So we know it's all right to praise God. But I'll get back to that a little bit later. When we were called, my wife and I, back in 1968, I'd been a salesman for an insurance company for 4 years at the time that we were called. And we were going to church in Youngstown, Ohio. We kept services in a high school auditorium. So one Sabbath, as we went to services and went into the auditorium, the minister was standing right there close by, and I walked over to him and spoke to him and shook hands, and I looked at him. I said, "That's a nice suit you have." He looked at me and says, "I can tell you're a salesman." Well, he may have been absolutely right. I was a salesman, and he was probably thinking that I was trying to flatter him by telling him he had a nice suit. And, it may have been. Back then, I think there was more talk about not complimenting or flattering anybody because of what the Bible has to say about it. The Bible has a lot to say about flatter. And so I want to go to a few scriptures and look at that. Let's go to Psalms 5. Psalms 5, and we'll look at 9 and 10. It says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouths, their inward part is destruction, their throat is an open tomb, and they flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God, let them fall by their own counsels, cast them out of the multitudes of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you." So this is not putting flatter in a very good light, and none of the scriptures actually do. We know we've all been flattered at one time or another, and sometimes we could sense that that's what it was from the person. Now let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and we'll look at verse 36. Now another scripture on flattering. It says, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. Maybe that's what I was doing to that minister. I don't know. And they lied to him with their tongue. I hope he had a nice suit on. I hope I wasn't lying to him. But that can happen. I think when we flatter somebody, we're actually wanting something in return. That's flattering has an ulterior motive to it. We want somebody either to maybe like us, or maybe we're trying to get something. In Proverbs 20:19, let's go to Proverbs 20. In verse 19, it says, this is in the King James Version, it says, he that goes about as a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And in the New King James Version, it just says, he who goes about as a gossip or a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. So it says, don't even associate with someone that flatters. And Job 32, 21 and 22. Job 32, 21 and 22. Says, and this is Elihu who's speaking. He says, let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone. Let me not flatter any man. For I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away. So there's another scripture that just shows us that, you know, the flattering somebody is not from God. You know? And we have one more I want to go to, 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 2. In verse 5, and this is Paul telling them, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Then in verse 6 it says, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. So he didn't use any flattering words to receive any glory from anybody. Now, I want to talk about praise. That is the title of this split sermon. And the Bible is really surprised me how many scriptures have to do with praise. Show you here that the word praise appears 246 times in the King James Version. Praised appears 26 times, praises 29 times, praises one time, and praising appears 10 times. Now in our hymnal that you have right next to you, if you go back in the back, it'll tell you the titles of the each psalm, and it'll also show you the songs that the hymnals, that the hymns in there that the topics of them. There are 9 songs that begin with the word praise. You know, like Praise Ye the Eternal with a song. There are 13 songs with praise in the title. And there are 48 songs with praise as its subject. And in the King James Version, Praise Him appears 22 times, and it's all in the Book of Psalms. Now, the first time the word praise is in the Bible was in Genesis 29:35. Can we go back there? Genesis 29 and verse 35. And she conceived again. Now this is Leah, and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah. So, Judah means the praise of the Lord. We know that in the Bible, a lot of the names have a meaning to them. Even the names of those of us today, Paul. If you look in a dictionary that gives definitions of names, Paul means small. And I know that many of us have Bible names, and it'll tell you what they mean. I want to read an article about praise from a Bible dictionary that I have at home. It says, "Praise, one of humanity's many responses to God's revelation of himself. So God reveals himself to us, and because of we see his greatness, how awesome he is, then we praise him for that." It says, "Human praise of God is one of Scripture's major themes." So like I mentioned, it's all through the Bible, praising God. How to praise, to give praise to God is to proclaim his worth. Many terms are used to express this in the Bible, including glory. You know, we give God glory, that's praise. Blessing God, that's praise. Thanksgiving. You know, we just had Thanksgiving, and I'm sure everybody that had the said grace that day or the prayer that day, they thank God for all the food that they were getting. They thank God for everything that they have because it all came from him. It says, while the Bible contains frequent ways for people to praise God, there are also occasional warnings about the quality of this praise. Praise must originate in the heart and not become just an outward show. So anytime we give praise, whether it's to God or to a person, even if it's a compliment, it's got to be from our heart. It's got to be with sincerity and truth. Let's go back to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and 1 and 2. This is the first time that the words, "I will praise him," occurs in the Bible, referring to God. This is at the crossing of the Red Sea. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord." Now, that's another way we praise God, is when we sing. When we come here and we sing songs, the songs of today are going to be songs that have to do with praising God. "I will sing to the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." So Moses is just telling us there that he praised God. He could see God's greatness and God's power, and he praised God for that. I want to look at some scriptures that show God's worthiness, why he is worthy to be praised. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. I mentioned there was 246 times the word praises in the Bible. You may think I'm going to every one of them, but I'm not. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. This really says a lot about God. This is David's praise to God. Let's start at verse 10. "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. and you are exalted as head over all. This shows us how David's just expressing how great and how awesome God really is. And we'll get into a little bit of that a little bit later. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22 and 4. 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4. In verse 2 it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer." And verse 4 says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." God is worthy to be praised. I wonder sometimes if we don't compliment somebody or even praise somebody, or is because we remember those scriptures about flattering, and so we're reluctant to do that. But we also know that only God is really worthy to be praised. Let's go to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 21. Verse 17, it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, is a great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." Then in 21 it says, "He is your praise, and He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." You can never praise God enough. It was just admonished in the Bible over and over again to praise God. We'll go to a scripture here that I wasn't sure if I was going to mention this or not. I think I will. In Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 164. I wasn't sure if I was going to use this one or not. It just shows us that David did praise God often. It says here in 164, "Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments." Now, I will mention that Barnes says, "Seven times a day." The word seven may be used here, as it is often in the Scriptures, indefinitely to denote many or often. So not necessarily just seven times. It could even be more than that. Remember, Peter asked Christ, "How many times shall I forgive a person? Seven times?" And Christ said, "No, seven times 70. But that was just a number. You know, we know that 490 times we forgive somebody, and then from then on we don't have to forgive them. No, we continually forgive them. So the word used here could just mean many, many times or often. Barnes goes on to say, "There is, however, nothing which makes it necessary to understand it in this sense. The number of times in which it is proper to engage in secret or public devotion is nowhere specified in the Bible." So really, there's no place where it's commanded to praise God any certain amount of times, or even to pray so many times a day. But we know in Psalm 55, David says, "Evening, morning, and at noon I will pray." So we know there are scriptures that let us know that praying, Daniel prayed three times a day, and we know that David did too. Now, 19 times in the Bible, the words thanks and praise are in the same scripture. 1 Chronicles 29:13, let's look at that. We'll look at a few of these. 1 Chronicles 29:13. It says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." So thanks and praise go hand in hand. When we thank God, we're praising Him. And we can also praise Him by just acknowledging you know, how great He is and what He has done. Daniel 2:23. It says, "I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and now have made known to me what we ask of you. We have made known to us the king's demands." Well, here Daniel is just thanking God and praising God because Daniel knows that the wisdom that he had came from God. It wasn't anything that was from his own self. It was something that God gave him. One more scriptures on praising and giving thanks is Psalms 18:49. Psalms 18:49. So therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and I will sing praises to your name. There's so much about praising God in the Bible. I think about if all the world, if every man and woman knew that their life came from God, He sustains it, He keeps them alive, all the food that they get, God provides for them, their shelter, and just everything comes from God. If everybody knew that, we know the world, first of all, their minds are hardened right now. God hasn't opened up their minds. And we know that they don't want to admit there is a God. But if they all knew that, you know, they'd be down on their knees every day praising God for that, just giving Him thanks for everything that they have. Now, does God need our praise? Is He setting up there like a egotistical man that just wants people to praise Him and tell Him how great He is and how awesome He is? I don't think so. I don't think God is like that. God wants our praise. He wants us to praise Him. But why does He do that? I think that it's praising God gets our minds thinking on His greatness. And that helps us with our relationship to Him. And we can talk to Him. We can walk with Him. And we can just put our lives in His hands and trust Him for everything. We really don't have to worry. You know, Christ says, "Do not worry." So we don't have to worry about anything. Now, does God need us for anything? Let's go to Psalms 50. Since we're right here in Psalms, go to Psalms 50. I'm going to start in verse 10. Psalms 50 and verse 10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." That's all His. "I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine." It's all mine. "All the gold is mine," He says. "All the silver is mine." Then in verse 12, He says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness." So God tells us that He doesn't need us. We need Him. We need to continually be drawing closer and closer to Him and putting our lives in His hands. A psalm is in the same chapter here, down in verse 23. It says, "Whoever offers praises glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God." So whoever offers praise glorifies me. So when we offer praise to God, we glorify Him. There's one more in, let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, "Therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." It says, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So we have to voice it. We have to give thanks to Him. And we do that when we come here, when we sing songs, and then we praise God. But we need to do that throughout the day. We need to do that in our prayers every morning and every night. Verse 16, it says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And we want God to be well pleased with us. We want Him to remember us and to count us as being worthy. We'll never be worthy to enter the kingdom of God. It's not in us. He has to account us as being worthy. So we praise God for our own good. It reminds us of how great God is. Let's look at Psalms 148. Psalms 148. It says, "Praise the Lord from the heavens." This is one of our songs in the hymnal. "Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels." Now you go back to Revelations, you can see where the angels praise Him. The 24 elders, they fall down and they worship Him. "Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon." Now the sun praises God just by being there, the awesomeness of the sun. I want to talk a little bit about the sun. Something I wrote down from the knowledge of the internet. So let's hope it's all true. Sometimes you can't tell, but anyhow, it says, let's take a look at our sun, our own sun, for a sense of scale. Our sun is a mighty 870,000 miles across. Just across at 870,000 miles. So that's such a huge number that it's hard to get a sense of scale. But you could fit 1 million Earths inside our sun. Just think of that. 1 million Earths inside our sun. Now, is that the largest sun in our solar system? No. It's just an average star, as they say. There is one other sun in our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. One huge famous star in our galaxy is the monster Eta Carinae. I hope that's right. Located approximately 7,500 light years away. It is 4 million times as bright as our sun. Now this sun is so huge and so large that if our Earth or our sun was in the center of it, our Earth's rotation would still be inside that sun. That's how large that sun is. And they say that's the largest sun they know of in our galaxy. But our galaxy is just one of perhaps trillions. And it just goes on and on. And they speculate and they believe that there are a lot of suns even bigger than that. And there very well may be, but they can't see them, they said, because they're so far away they can't see the light from them. So that just gives us a little glimpse into how great God is, to create even our sun, but then to create a sun that's as large as the other one there. And then there may be some that's so large that even that one could be in the center of it. Or could have, maybe there could be one so big that would hold a million of them. Psalms 150, the last psalm, this is all about praising God. Every sentence starts out with praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him for the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him for the lute and the harp. Praise Him for the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. And I like this verse here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So every person, everything should praise God because of how great He really is. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that I was going to title this, Is It All Right to Give Praise? Because I wanted to talk about praising each other. But then the question, is it all right to give praise, is foolish, because we know we are to praise God. But does the Bible mention anywhere in it about praising another person? Or is that just flattery? We shouldn't do that. Let's go to Proverbs 31. This is talking about the virtuous wife, the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, and we will start in verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies, the heart of her husband, safely trust her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it for her profits. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yet, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Let's go down to verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So here is her husband praising her for all these wonderful things that she does. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and so is flattery. And beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So here shows that this wife deserves praise. And her husband gave it to her. Now should we praise one another? Let's go back to Psalms or Proverbs 27. Many of you may have already thought of this verse, Proverbs 27 and in verse 2, Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, and a stranger and not your own lips. So, it is all right to praise someone for something that they've done, but it has to come from our heart. It has to be sincerity and truth. It has to be honest. We can't praise somebody for just to get something from them. It says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. Now, the last verse I want to go to is Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and 21, verse 21. And this is a praise from Jesus Christ. This is a praise that we all want to hear someday. When Christ returns and He sets up the kingdom of God, we want Him to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.